this morning, all in, all the way. I would have you take your Bibles and come to the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers, chapter 14. All in, all the way. Allow me to speak this morning from my heart in a straightforward manner. It occurs to me that Christianity has, and may I just broaden that, a people's relationship to God, Old Testament and the New. The Jews, the Christians. In ancient times, right up to our present day, have had a strain of commonality that probably is best described as Rubicon Christianity. And I would bring that into our discussion this morning where Joshua and Caleb are concerned. I bring that to your attention where Ruth is concerned. Ruth and Naomi. I bring that to your attention where David is concerned. King David. Before he was a king, he walked up on a line, and when he stepped over the line, there was no going back. The Rubicon. I think of Esther. Likewise, there was a line that she should not have crossed legally. But when she did, there was no going back. She was all in. When I think of the wonderful narratives of the three Hebrews in Daniel chapter 3, and Daniel himself in Daniel chapter 6, they walked up to a line. To cross that line meant there could be no turning back. They were all in. Christ Jesus, in the same fashion, began his public ministry, a brief 3 years, every day heading closer and closer to that line that once crossed, there could be no turning back. And then, of course, the question for application purposes, what of us? We and me, we together. We read in the account in the book of Hebrews of a group of women, unbelievably, who were being tortured, Hebrews 11:35. And it is said of those women that they would not accept deliverance. They would not accept deliverance, no doubt having to do with recanting or modifying their claim to their God. They were all in, all the way. When I think of the Rubicon, let me just give you a little brief history lesson. When you define it for the word, it's a boundary, a line that's drawn, that once that line is crossed, it commits a person irreversibly. There can be no going back once you cross the line. In 49 AD, Julius Caesar came to a very small river, Rubicon by name. And that river served as a boundary between Italy and Gaul. The law said that no sitting Roman general could lead his army out of the province to which he was assigned under penalty of death. And so when Julius Caesar approached the river, Rubicon. He precipitated a 3-year civil war, which ultimately would bring him to the throne. And as it is alleged by historians, as he waded into the river, he uttered these words, "The die is cast." Once he led his army across that river, there could be no turning back. The law would allow for no mercy. And so whenever I begin in this fashion, I liken Christianity in much the same way. And I think of it in this term. When Israel came up to the Red Sea, the way was cleared for them, and they crossed that body of water. God would require of them that there be no turning back. Once across, no turning back. When they came to another place of transit, Kadesh Barnea, at a later time, they refused. We'll pick that narrative up here in the 14th chapter. They would not go. Their unbelief clouded their judgment. And for that generation that made that decision, they crossed a line that they could not go back on. They would all die in the wilderness. And as a consequence, the whole tribe would spin around in a circle around the same mountain for 40 years. But then there came another time when they would come across a river. And once they crossed the river, they committed themselves, lock, stock, and barrel, to the mission of occupying the land. There would be no turning back. None. And once they approached Jericho, that mighty fortress, once they crossed into the city over top of the fallen walls, there could be no turning back. From that point on, they had to go forward. It is that challenge that I lay out for you as individuals and for this church family as a whole. Though almost half are absent today, I'm just wanting to peel back the opening layer of this theme of all in, all the way. As we finish up a ministry here, we are like the Israelites who finished up their 400-year sojourn in Egypt. You will remember that when they went there just with a relatively small numerical group compared to what they left with. But now their time there was over. And once they crossed over the Red Sea, God would not have them go back into Egypt. Over and over and over again, He reprimands the desire in the hearts of some to go back to the ways of Egypt. And the truth of the matter is, while they got Israel out of Egypt, they could never get them out of the heart. Could never get Egypt out of the heart. And so whenever I approach this subject on this morning, I have you look at Numbers chapter 14. At the first verse, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And therefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey. Were it not better for us?" And here's the sentiment. "Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And then verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we have passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Good question. When we consider Joshua and Caleb, here are two men, minority representatives of the original group that went across to spy out the land. The majority said we can't. The minority said we will. The majority were looking to themselves and in their own flesh could not see how they could possibly overcome the giants in the land, where the minority, looking away from themselves unto God, said, in God we can. In God we can. The enemies will be bread for us. But on that day there was a line drawn for one generation of the Jews, the Israelites. Those who steadfastly dug in their heels and would not, they would die in the wilderness. For them there was absolutely no turning back. But the very people that they were concerned about, their wives and their children, they would be brought into the land. You see, God cannot be thwarted in his purposes. As it concerns you and me, God's purpose today is, I will build my church. I will build my church. There's a cause. I also have been thinking too about a song. I don't even know if it's in our hymn book, but it's a good old song where it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. That's a good old song. Now, where these two men were concerned, they were all in, all the way. If I can say that about them, if I can't say anything else about them, I can say that about them. They were all in for God. All in for the whole way. Look over in the book of Joshua. Chapter 1 for a moment. Joshua, chapter 1. Moses is gone. A new leader has taken over. Moses had finished his work. Moses was relinquished or relieved of duty. Moses could not lead the people across into the promised land because of sin in his life. Moses had crossed a line that he could not retreat from, and therefore the consequences to Moses were this. The thing that God had tabbed him for back at the burning bush to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, the thing that he had set his sight on his whole life would be thwarted because of sin in his life. He crossed a line. There could be no going back for Moses. So a new leader, Joshua, the understudy to Moses, is now here. And after the death of Moses, verse 1, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, if you can picture the map in the back of your Bible now, unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And by the way, which geographical point on the horizon does the sun go down? West. So if you can just mentally picture your Bible map, you can see what is encompassed in this spread of land that God had promised to Israel. Then he says in verse number 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. As I was, so I will be." Pointing up again the marvelous truth of God's immutability. That when he puts his hand on a person or a people, his purpose for that person or the people will not be thwarted. It will not. When we think about what we see over in Joshua chapter 14, Joshua 14, where Caleb was concerned, they are now into the land, led by Joshua, and Caleb now makes his appearance at verse 6 in chapter 14. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite said unto him," here's his claim, "this man was all in at the beginning, he's in it all the way to the end. What I point out about Caleb, I ask for you to consider as individuals and as corporate members of this church family. And ask yourself this question, am I all in? Am I in all the way to the end?" Need to ask yourself, confront yourself with that question. It says, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh." Verse 7 says, "40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." How many of you remember age 40? You can't, of course. Shane, what was it like?
Not much better than I was a year ago.
Yeah. You cling to this year. It won't be, it'll be different from the rest of the way out. How many of you remember year 40? That was a nice time. But it was at that time when things started going this way. This way. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. He says 40 years old. Now that's what this, that's, he was 40 years old. "When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." But then he says, "I have wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God." You see how God blesses the Rubicon Christian. The Rubicon person, the person who runs up against that line, crosses it with a resolve not to turn back. Committed, irreversibly committed all the way. Now there's one person notable in the Bible that we point out, reluctantly, but we point out her name. Her name was Lotta. You remember her? She couldn't cross that line. But she crossed another line when she went back. Caleb here is saying, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." And may I say that you're alive today for the same reason as Caleb. The only reason you're alive today is because the Lord's keeping you alive. That's it. Period. You can take all the vitamins you want, supplements you want, take all the prescription medication you want, you can exercise all you want. Eat all, anything you want, health food, and so forth and so on, you know. Spaghettis, breads, everything like that. But the only reason you're living today is because God, as he was with Caleb, is keeping you alive. And he's keeping Caleb alive for a reason. Caleb crossed the line that there was no turning back on. And it is here noted by God. He said, he's kept me alive these 45 years since the Lord spake his word. That makes him now old. Old. He would fit in nice to most fundamental Bible preaching congregations today. And that's a fact. Because he's old. The reason I say that is because that's about all that's left. Old. Look what he says here. I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this valley. Give me the valley. The trajectory is much more hospitable to an old man downhill. Downhill. Is that what the Bible says? What's he want? A mountain. Now, the only thing I can say that is suspect about Caleb, something was wrong here. Something was wrong here. You want to climb a mountain at 85? Come on. He said, I'm as strong today as I was then. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. What's the truth in verse 12? The giants that were there 40 years ago are still there today. Those people that God said he would have rooted out then, he's going to root out now. He was committed all the way. And the years that passed from that experience there at Kadesh did not dampen his enthusiasm. I want to say that Caleb was still looking for a fight. It is said that when people get to be a certain age, they're not interested in fighting anymore. Caleb was looking for a fight here. Look what he says. Then I shall be able to drive them out. I shall. I'm not going to send my boys. I shall drive them out. Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And why? Verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb was indicative of a man who was all in, all the way. So I'm asking you, and again, how thankful I am that you're here today. You bless my heart. And those who aren't here will hear it again at another time. Consider a state of mind in which you will come to the place where you resolve to be all in all the way home. Now, every child of God ought to have a cause for which to stand. A cause for which to stand. There's only one cause that I know that is worthy for your consideration and mine. Only one cause. Only one. In John's Gospel, chapter 18. And let me, just in the next few moments, conclude with an outline that you will hear repeated for the next several weeks as we look into the lives of these Rubiconites. John chapter 18 at verse number 37. As he stands before Pilate, Pilate says to him, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And here's what he said. My kingdom is not of this world. You don't need to sweat it now, Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said to him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And may I just point this out to you, that even as Jesus says this about himself, the same thing can be said of you, each of you who know him. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So if you're looking for a cause on which to stand, I recommend heartily this cause, because it is Christ's cause. And what is that cause? That I should bear witness unto the truth. That's the cause. Now, there are a number of things that ought to be put in order here and given consideration at a later time. If the church, this church singularly, particularly, is going to finish well, then there are several things that we need to do individually and as a church family. If we're going to finish well, and I'm looking to finish up here, is that not the perspective of a group of people who wait for Jesus to come? I'm looking to finish here. And there must be on our parts a buy-in, first of all. We're going to buy into this cause. You give consideration to what Jesus said and you ask yourself the question, am I able to cross over that line? Because once I commit myself to it, there can't be any turning back. And believe it or not, when people united with the church family by way of covenant, they established a line from which there's no turning back, a de facto line. But as I pointed out this morning, that cannot be legislated religiously. That cannot be relegated into the corner of the letter of the law, because the law drives a person to obedience, whereas the spirit of the law is that which draws the individual to a place of obedience. It's got to be on those terms. So you got to buy into this. You need to determine whether or not you can be all in. Because here's what the Lord Jesus is involving us in concerning his cause. Remember what he said in the classic verse on the seed truth of the church. In Matthew 16, verse 18, he says, I will build my church. There's going to be a building. Matter of fact, there's a building ongoing now. Soul by soul by soul, in place after place after place, in country after country, all around this world, there's a building going on. And that stems right from his cause. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you want to buy into that? Will you buy into that? There must be also a bending or a breaking of your will. A bending or a breaking of your will. When we give consideration to the words coming out of a heart of prayer from the Lord Jesus himself at Gethsemane, there was that little, that momentary shrinking back from the horror of the cross in that instant. But then he comes around and he says to his Father, not my will, but thine be done. He bent his will to do the will of God. There must be that. Are you willing to buy into that where you're concerned? Not your will, not my will, but his. There must be as a part of this cause that he speaks of, a broadcasting. The same Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Told his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we have so flipped that. We've so flipped that. He said, go and make disciples. He did not say, go and make converts. You see, a disciple is a follower who has been saved by the grace of God, regenerated by the grace of God. A convert in some respects is like unto a person who has merely received, who has been merely been reformed by religion. Maybe he gives up this habit or this or that, but never having been saved by the grace of God, never have had the Spirit breathe into him the breath of lives, he remains a convert still. The Lord is interested in the broadcasting that brings about the disciple making, the followers of the Lamb, the people who once they start out on that path with him, hand in hand, will realize that I am in it all the way, no matter what happens. Just like those precious souls mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Those women, my goodness, what they endured. Being tortured because of who they were and what they espoused would not accept deliverance. They could have probably walked away alive, but they would not accept deliverance. Because they were committed all the way. They were all in all the way. And so as we finish up here at Grace, as we finish up, whether we are able to finish well will be determined by this one thing over the next 4 months. Mark my word. Mark my word now over the next 4 months. We will have a series of meetings each week for the next 4 months. And in the course of that time, that span of time, we will see whether or not the people of this church are all in, all the way. Will we finish well, or will we just finish? Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, how thankful I am for these dear people in the room today. And I pray that the living Word of God might, by Your Spirit, be implanted in the heart, the challenge received and accepted. And would to be, dear God, that these folks might provide a nucleus of folks who would commit themselves all the way. We might each of us be all in, all the way. For Jesus' sake, I ask it. Amen.